All right, strap in, everybody. We're going deep into Ezekiel today. Specifically, we're looking at Ezekiel 36:1-6:38 with Dr. Leslie Allen's lecture.
Oh, yeah, this one's packed.
He calls it Israel's renewal, but right off the bat, I gotta say, there's some serious tension going on here.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not just the Israelites facing a crisis. God's reputation is on the line, too.
It's true, and Dr. Allen really highlights that. This passage, it's like a carefully crafted argument, you know? It starts with this private message to Ezekiel, then goes public for the exiles, and each section makes its own points.
Okay, so like layers upon layers.
Yeah, but woven through it all is this thread of God's name, his honor. Like, that's what's at stake.
Okay, so let's unpack this a bit. What's the first big problem we encounter here?
Well, the first problem is the Israelites themselves.
Oh, right.
Their situation. Dr. Allen uses this concept of ritual uncleanness to explain it. Remember in Leviticus how even something like a woman's menstrual cycle, you know, that could make her ritually unclean.
Yeah, yeah. And that had all these like consequences for the people around her, right?
Exactly. Uncleanness was contagious, so to speak. And in the worst case scenario, it could even defile the temple, leading to total disaster. So Dr. Allen argues that the Israelites' sinfulness, it's being described the same way, metaphorically, like they're spiritually contaminated, unfit to be in God's presence.
So it's not just breaking rules, it's like disrupting this whole sacred order.
Exactly. The stakes are crazy high. And then on top of that, there's the problem for God himself.
That's what I'm so curious about. How does God end up with a problem?
Okay, so in the ancient Near East, there was this big belief that if a nation got exiled, it meant their God was weak, like they had been defeated by a stronger God.
So for the Israelites, being conquered by the Babylonians
makes Yahweh look bad, right?
Totally. Like he's losing.
Exactly. Marduk, their God, was seemingly more powerful. So Yahweh's rep takes a huge hit. And this profaning of God's name that comes up a lot in Ezekiel shows how important it is.
Man, it's getting intense. Feels like God has to like prove himself all over again. He can't just let this stand.
You got it.
What did you do?
Dr. Allen calls God's first move a total power play. He straight up promises to end the exile and bring the Israelites back to their land. Think of it like a new exodus.
Whoa, like undeniable divine power on display.
Exactly. That's God saying, don't you dare underestimate me.
Wow. But does that seem kind of external? Like, what about the Israelites' internal state, their sinfulness? God just ignores that because he's worried about his reputation.
That's where it gets really interesting. Dr. Allen points to this two-part solution, both focusing on internal transformation. First, forgiveness. God says he'll sprinkle clean water on them, wipe the slate clean.
Okay, so that deals with, like, the contamination, the broken relationship. But is forgiveness enough?
That's where the second part comes in, a new heart and a new spirit. God's promising to replace their hard hearts, to know the ones resistant to his will with soft, receptive ones. Hearts that are open to his guidance, empowered to follow his commands. It's not just like going back home. It's about this total change from the inside out.
Right, like a spiritual dot transplant.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? This reminds me of something Jesus said in John 3.5 about being born of water and spirit to get into God's kingdom. It's that same idea, forgiveness and the power of the spirit.
Oh, wow. You're totally right. That connection. It's all over scripture, huh?
It is. Dr. Allen points that out, too. But remember, we still have the land itself, defiled by their sin, almost like it's been poisoned.
Ah, right. So the land needs its own kind of renewal. What does God do about that?
He promises to renew it, bring an end to the famine, make it abundant again. And Dr. Allen points out that the Pacific imagery here, the land becomes like the Garden of Eden.
Whoa. Like Eden 2.0. But, I mean, is it just about crops growing again? Feels like there's got to be more to it than that.
You're getting at something really important. Dr. Allen argues this renewal is all about covenant. You see, in the Old Testament, the land, it was more than just a place to live. It was a sign, a tangible sign of God's covenant with his people. So when they messed up, when they broke the covenant through their sin, the land suffered too.
Wow. So the land's desolation was like a physical picture of their broken relationship with God, and then the restoration of the land. That signifies this reconciliation, this renewed covenant bond.
Yes, precisely. And remember that whole problem of God's reputation being tarnished.
Yeah, yeah. Like Yahweh looks weak because his people got exiled.
Right. Well, the renewal of the land, that becomes part of the solution for that too.
Because now everyone else, all the other nations, they're going to see this amazing transformation to be like, whoa, okay, Yahweh's back. It's like a giant, I told you so, to everyone who doubted him.
Exactly. Dr. Allen even points to Psalm 126. Where the other nations are just amazed by what God's done. They're like, the Lord has done great things for them. It's this public declaration of God's power and faithfulness.
Total vindication for God. His name's cleared, his people are home, and the land's thriving. like triple victory.
It really is. But it's important to remember what Dr. Allen emphasizes here. God doesn't do all this because the Israelites are so great.
Oh, right, right. They kind of messed up big time.
Yeah. He reminds them they should be ashamed of what they did and that he's acting only for his own namesake.
Man, that's humbling, isn't it? It's not about our merit. It's about God being true to himself, to his character. But if God's acting for his own sake, does that mean, like, we should always be freaking out about how everything we do impacts his reputation?
That's a great question. And I think it's important to get what Dr. Allen's saying here. It's not about constantly policing ourselves, you know, obsessing over outward appearances. It's about understanding that our lives aren't our own. Like, we've been redeemed by God's grace, right? So our main goal should be living in a way that reflects his character and brings him glory.
So it's less about looking good for other people and more about letting God's grace, you know, really shape who we are deep down.
Exactly. Think of it like a tree bearing good fruit. If the tree's healthy and has good roots, the fruit just comes naturally.
I love that. Takes the pressure off, you know. It's not about earning God's favor. It's about staying connected to him. He's the source of our life. But Dr. Allen also mentioned something about a pastoral concern the exiles were going through. What was that?
This part is where you really see God's compassion. The exiles, they were worried about their population. They'd lost so many people and were freaking out about rebuilding with, you know, such small numbers.
Makes sense. Starting over is hard enough. But to do it with just a fraction of your people? Yikes. What did God say to, like, ease their fear?
He promises to make their numbers grow like a flock. And he's drawing on the imagery of those sacrificial flocks at the festivals in Jerusalem.
Oh, wow. That's such a vivid image, from like scattered remnants to a huge crowd. But why use that imagery specifically?
Dr. Allen says this would have really hit home for Ezekiel, you know, being a priest, and for all the exiles who would have remembered those bustling festival scenes back in Jerusalem. It's God tapping into their memories, reminding them of those times of abundance, celebration.
It's like God saying, hey, I know what you lost. I see you, and I'm going to make things even better than before. It's personal, you know? It's not just some vague promise. It's this tangible picture of hope based on their own experience.
Exactly. And for anyone out there wondering how all this ancient history relates to us today, Dr. Allen would say the main themes are timeless. Forgiveness, transformation, God's faithfulness. Those are truths that speak to us no matter what.
Yeah. Even if we're not literally exiled in a foreign land, we can still feel that spiritual exile. You know, that sense of separation from God because of our sin. And this passage in Ezekiel, it's a powerful message of hope. It reminds us that God's always working to restore us, renew us, individuals and communities.
And just like the Israelites, we can't earn our way back to God. It's all grace, undeserved mercy.
And that grace, it goes beyond our own lives. God's in the business of renewing the world around us, too. He can take what's empty and make it fruitful. Turn ashes into beauty.
It's this reminder that nothing's beyond God's leash. No heart too hard, no place too messed up for him to transform.
Makes you wonder, right? If God could do all that back then, what's he doing in our world right now? What brokenness is he healing? What emptiness is he filling?
It's a powerful question. And maybe as we go about our day, we can be more aware of where God's inviting us to be part of his work of renewal.
Something to think about, for sure. This deep dive into Ezekiel 36 has been quite the journey, huh?
It really has.
From the Israelites' uncleanness to God.
God's reputation.
Right. God's reputation being like tarnished to forgiveness, transformation, and then the land being renewed.
And all those people.
Yeah. And the promise of all those people.
Yeah. It's a lot.
It is. Dr. Allen really did a good job unpacking all that.
He did. He did.
One thing that keeps sticking with me, though.
Yeah.
Is how God acts. Not because of us, but because of him.
Oh, yeah. For his own namesake? That's huge.
It is. Like, it's so humbling because we think, oh, God's helping us because we're so good.
Right. Like, we deserve it.
But that's not what we see in Ezekiel at all.
Nope. Not at all.
He tells them straight up, you should be ashamed of yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And he's restoring them just to show how holy and powerful he is.
Exactly. It's all about grace, pure and simple. God loves us, not because of anything we've done, but because of who he is.
And realizing that it should just blow our minds, right? We're loved not because of us, but because of him.
It's pretty amazing.
We talked about internal transformation, but what really got me was how Dr. Allen connected that inner change with God himself, with his presence.
Oh, right. Like how the land itself becomes this dwelling place for God after it's been renewed.
Yeah. It's like the land shows that God has returned to his people.
Like a mirror image, Their restored relationship reflected in the land flourishing again.
And Dr. Allen made this...
A parallel.
Yes, a parallel.
With the tabernacle?
Yes, he talked about how God's presence was in the tabernacle, then the temple, and now the whole land becomes like this sanctuary.
Wow, a place where God's glory can be.
It adds a whole new layer to what renewal means, right? It's not just physical, it's about making space for God to live with his people again.
It is, and you know, that ties right back into God acting for his namesake. God's glory is seen through his presence, and now the land is a giant billboard for that glory.
Yeah, like it's shouting to the other nations, Yahweh is the one true God. They can't miss it.
Not at all. And Dr. Allen reminds us this isn't just for the Israelites back then. These themes, they speak to us today too.
They do. So for everyone listening, what stands out to you the most from everything we've talked about?
For me, it's that God is always working to renew things, not just people, but whole communities, the world around us.
And it starts with realizing we need forgiveness, letting God's grace change us.
Exactly. From that place of humility, you know, we can become part of that renewal process too.
Yeah, we can be instruments of healing, restoring, transforming, bringing God's presence into those broken parts of our world. We've talked about how both Ezekiel and John connect forgiveness with the Spirit. How does that hit you? What does that mean for you in your own life? That's it for this deep dive. We'll be back soon with another fascinating exploration of God's Word and what it means for us today.